We know who He is. He's our Lord, and He can guard what we entrust to Him. And what we have faith in Him, He will guard for us. And He gives us that power that we have to not be afraid. And also, in verse 7, it says, of power and of love and discipline. And I'm not going to talk about the spirit of love or discipline tonight, but I'm going to talk about the power that love has. Because I believe there's power in love. And we have such a loving God and Savior. The power that comes from knowing that God. The power of knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what suffering we might go through, God loves us. And we can take power in that fact, and that knowledge, that God is protecting us and guarding our steps and making our path straight. And He will not abandon us. And we cannot be afraid of abandonment when we realize what a loving Savior and God we have. Next thing I want to talk about tonight is liberty. Spirit of liberty. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He gives us liberty. What is liberty? It's freedom. Well, freedom from what? Freedom from sin, the condemnation that sin carries with it. In Romans 8, Paul says, For therefore now there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We have to be in Christ Jesus to have this freedom, to have this liberty. We are freed from sin. And also, it talks all the time about how we're no longer under the old covenant that had to be followed by the letter. And this freedom from sin, freedom of having our sins washed away, freedom from knowing that we are under God's grace and we are free to live as His people. And also freedom from fear. And this kind of ties in back with the power we have. We're free from fear because of the power He's given us. We're God's children. Turn over to Ephesians. And this is the fear. Well, this is an example of the fear. This is telling us why we should not fear. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. It says, before time, from the beginning, He predestined us. He knew who would be His children. He knew we were His children. That we'd be His children. And we should take comfort in the fact that God knows our weaknesses and knows our failings. And yet He still has poured out His Son's blood to wash away our sins. And we cannot fear because of what Jesus has done for us. We should take liberty from fear and become free from it. And become free from the bondage that it puts us in. And realize we are God's children and He saved us. And also freedom from the law I mentioned earlier. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This context that it puts liberty in is here. It's in the context of this law that he's talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read verses 4 through 9. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stone came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. We know we're not under a law like they had in the Old Testament, but we're under the new covenant, a new covenant of righteousness by faith and under grace. Over and over in the Scriptures, it talks about how Abraham, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. And over again, faith being brought to us as righteousness, and righteousness by faith. And we are under grace. That also is a key concept in the new law, to understand how we're made free because we have grace. God has poured out His grace for us. He's moved by grace to save us, to send His Son, who washed away all of our sins. And talking about this grace, in Romans chapter 6, turn over there, Romans chapter 6, it has something to say about being under grace. Verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Some people will take this idea of being freed from the law to mean, well, we don't have to follow any law anymore. We can just do whatever we want. But it's obviously not that way in the Bible. It says, yes, you're not under the law, but there's still sin. Know what sin is. Don't do it. You're under grace. We shouldn't make it abound. We should try our best not to sin. And the last thing I want to talk to you tonight about is our confidence. I think this confidence ties in with our power. We have confidence in the power. We have confidence in love. And we have confidence in liberty. And this confidence comes by faith and knowing what the Bible tells us we have as God's children. But turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And it talks about a different kind of confidence. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And this, of course, is coming in the context of Jesus, our High Priest, and how He intercedes for us, and how we can pray to Him, and we will receive all that we need. And we should take great trust in that statement that, Jesus is our High Priest. He is there, connecting us to the Father, taking our prayers to Him. And in James 1, in verse 5, again, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He says, just ask, Just ask whatever you need, and God will give it to you. We should have confidence in the fact that Jesus is listening to our prayers and sending them to the Father, and He will give us what we need because He loves for us, because He loves us. And also, we can have confidence in our soul. Hebrews again, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to you, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Because the promise of God that we can enter His place of rest is still there. He still has a home in heaven waiting for us. And we should trust God and believe that. He says in verse 2, said this gospel was no value to them because they didn't believe it. If we just believe that God has a place for rest waiting for us, and have faith in that, and have faith in Jesus, we too can be a part of heaven's glory. And also, not only in our soul, but also in our heart. 1 John chapter 3. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll read verse 19 and 20. we shall know by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before Him in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You know, people will take this verse and say, well, it's saying here that, even if your heart condemns you, and even if you think you're sinning, it doesn't really matter, because God's grace will just destroy all that, and you'll go to heaven no matter what you do. But I don't think that's what he's saying here. I think what he's saying is that, we have awareness and consciousness of our failings and weaknesses, and we are constantly reminded of them. We know, it says, God knows our heart. He's greater than our heart. And He'll know, if we're really pursuing Him. He'll know if it's just a weakness. He'll know if it's just, a thorn in the flesh that drags us down. And He is gracious and loving enough to forgive us of even the sins that we constantly fail in. But it should be that mentality, a constant failing, not a, well, I sin, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I can't really change it. The only time we sin should be when we fail. Now, with all these blessings of the Spirit God has set for us, He's given us power to live out beyond this church building. He's given us liberty to live out. He's given us freedom from sin, from condemnation, from fear. And He's given us confidence in our life. And He's given us confidence that He is a gracious and loving Savior, and confidence that we can ask for the things we need and He'll give them to us. We should realize, the things that He's done for us are not in vain. They've been done for us so that we can go to heaven with Him. And we should not take all these for granted, but live like them and try to make them our spirit. God's given them to us. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight, and you see these blessings and you say, that's something I want, and we can tell you how to be a Christian tonight, wouldn't be a very good lesson on why to come to Christ if I didn't tell you how to get in Him. And I believe the only way to do that is believe in Christ. Have faith in Him. Tell other people you believe in Him and be baptized. It's as easy as that. And you can enter into Christ's body and have your sins washed away with His blood. We should take joy in our blessings. We should realize the blessings that He's given to us and take advantage of them and become the Spirit that He's given to us. If you need to make a change in your life tonight, will you please do that as we stand and sing?